Okay, thank you very much. I should have probably had another title other than sod-based rotation, because that's not something that a lot of cotton farmers are necessarily interested in. But what we have done in the Deep South, North Florida area, a lot of our growers typically grow 2 years of cotton followed by a year of peanuts. This rotation is good for nematode reduction on both the peanuts and cotton. We do encourage our growers to use conservation tillage and strip tillage. And essentially, what you see here is a year of peanuts followed by an oat cover crop, followed by cotton, followed by oat cover crop, and we strip till into it. It's a 3 year rotation. What we are trying to encourage growers to do is a 4 year rotation. We do have growers who have cattle, who have livestock, and at one time they did have a lot of livestock, but also to utilize the land year around. So what we're doing is growing 2 years of bahia grass, followed by an oat cover crop. We kill out the bahia grass in the second year and plant oats into it, and then strip till peanuts into that, go back into an oat cover crop and then into cotton before going back into bahia. The reasoning for this, why we would use a perennial grass instead of an annual cover crop, there's a lot of data out of the Midwest, long-term rotation studies that show the value of the perennial grasses, and that is the reason that the whole entire Midwest have very fertile soils. And here you see bahia grass being strip-tilled into on the upper left, strip-tilling peanuts into that with a strip-till rig with the ripper foot, and you see a very small slot. The reason for that is that you've got about 20,000 pounds of bahia grass roots underneath there, versus the bottom right-hand corner with an annual cover crop, you've got 3,000 to 4,000 pounds of root mass there. And it makes a tremendous difference in many, many different things. What we have found in this, we are in our third rotation, the ninth year in our small plots. And again, you can see the sod-based, little browner looking color there. We have been increasing organic matter by about 0.1% per year. That doesn't sound like very much, but we're already, after 9 years, almost 1% higher organic matter in this sod-based rotation as compared to the conventional rotation. And again, we're doing everything in a conservation tillage system. We're looking at hay on the bahia grass in this system. But we also have taken this system and taken the data from the small plots and have gone into a 160-acre pivot, actually 135 under irrigation. We've got this rotation that turns counterclockwise a quarter of a turn each year. We've got exclusion cages, which you see in the small squares here, where cattle are never allowed to graze either the bahia grass or the oat cover crop. And therefore, we're able to determine the cattle impacts of not only on the winter grazing, but on the bahia grass and then on the cotton and peanut crop as well. When we start looking at the small plot replicated trials, we have irrigated, non-irrigated. Again, you see strip-till here. The main problem that we have had is in stand establishment without irrigation. However, you will see later on that at the end of the season, it does not make that much difference. But when you have a technician that's trying to get a good crop out there, and this happens almost every year, in the background you see the cotton planted on the same day, on the same path, without irrigation. In many cases, will take 4 to 6 weeks to come up, and the irrigated cotton will be up in a few days. In these small plots, we have also looked at nitrogen above ground biomass and nitrogen rates. Again, because in this sod system, we have found that we are increasing organic matter. We've got more nitrogen available in that system. On the left-hand side, you see what happened in 2007. The SC means cotton in the sod system, either with no nitrogen applied to it, or with 95 pounds of total nitrogen. The CC1 is the first year of cotton in the conventional rotation. The CC2 is the second year of cotton in the conventional rotation. And the thing that you will see on both the left and right-hand figure there is that the above-ground biomass of cotton is much greater in the sod system than any of the other systems there. Also, the leaf area index shows the same thing for 2007 and 2008. The system that had the bahia grass in it, with nitrogen, you had a lot growthier plants, more leaf area index. The cumulative nitrogen uptake also shows a very similar trend. The thing that really breaks out here is the cotton that's in the sod system with the 95 pounds of nitrogen in both 2007 and 2008. So when you look at yield and what's happening, in 2007 on the left there, you do see that the highest yield was obtained where the 95 pounds of total nitrogen was applied to the cotton. However, if you looked at the zero nitrogen, there's not very much difference in the yield, no significant difference between zero nitrogen in the sod rotation and the cotton yields in the either first year cotton or second year cotton with 95 pounds of nitrogen. We have also had other trials in here that we've looked at nitrogen, and we're almost to the point that we can only, that 30 pounds of nitrogen in this system will give us about 3-bale cotton year in and year out. Again, in 2008, a little better year. 2007 was one of our driest on record, but in 2008 we did have higher cotton yields, 3.5 bale in the sod system. Again, it was significantly higher than the second year of cotton. Zero nitrogen in the sod system, in the bahia system. Again, that was cotton that was planted after peanuts. So it was 2 years after the bahia was in there, and is still showing the impacts on cotton yields. We take much of the data that we get out of the small replicated plots and then look at what's happening in a farm scale size system, and this is the system. You see there's four quadrants. You see in the foreground there where the cattle are is after cotton. In the background where you see the people and the truck was after peanuts. Winter grazing is planted there. It does have three exclusion cages in there that, again, cattle are never allowed to graze on, either on the winter grazing, as you see here, or the bahia grass, which you see in the upper left-hand corner in that quadrant, so that we can determine what impact the cattle are having on each of these systems. We have found that the winter grazing after bahia, we have a major impact on the winter grazing. We have much higher yields of the winter grazing if you have perennial grass in that system as compared to the conventional system of just cropping each year. One thing that we were very concerned about was compaction impact, since we were strip tilling, not doing any tillage in the system. Even when we go to plant bahia grass, we're using a no-till drill. We do have increased soil compaction in the where the cattle were. The G means it was grazed, and the UG is ungrazed. Most of the compaction that we see from cattle is in the top 6 inches of the soil. We also looked at plant height and main stem nodes. Not a great deal of difference whether it was irrigated and grazed, and the IR is irrigated and the NIR is non-irrigated, grazed or ungrazed. Not a great deal of difference in plant height or main stem nodes. You see a little lower plant height there in the irrigated ungrazed on cotton. Again, cotton leaf area index, not a great deal of difference between any of these systems. The cattle did not seem to impact that to a great deal or make a great deal of difference. One thing that we have noted in both 2007 and 2008 on the right-hand side of the graph there, the petiole nitrate nitrogen, throughout the system and throughout the season, we found higher petiole nitrogen in the cotton plants. In general, both years it showed up the same thing. With the SPAD meter, we did not see that much difference. The petiole nitrate nitrogen response and irrigation, again, if you look on the right-hand graph, the non-irrigated cotton seemed to have more nitrate nitrogen in it throughout the season. I think a lot of this this was in 2008, in the last part of the season. We did have a more normal rainfall period. In 2007, we had no rainfall or very limited rainfall, and I think we just kept a lot more nitrogen in the soil profile. When we look at lint yields and yield components in 2007, either grazed or ungrazed, we did find no significant difference, even though there was a trend with about 175 pounds more lint. Very little difference in bowl size or bowl numbers per area, little difference in turnout. And then in 2008, again, looked at this, irrigated and non-irrigated, either the grazed system or the ungrazed system. Generally, lint yields were higher where cattle were. Again, we think this is due to a lot of the nitrogen cycling that's happening in that system, keeping the cattle on those areas. There was a significant difference between the irrigated grazed and ungrazed with almost 4 bale yields out of the grazed irrigated cotton. So it has a lot of potential there. When we looked at what happened as far as plant numbers per meter square on the irrigated area, grazed irrigated or grazed ungrazed irrigated, we did have higher plant numbers. If you look at bowl numbers, we did have some difference. Number open bowls per meter square had the highest number on the grazed. I'll try not to use that. turnout, not really very much difference, but again, the lint yields were the most impressive thing that we have seen with having cattle in the system. So instead of being a detriment, which we thought that perhaps they might be because of the compaction that we're getting and doing no-tillage throughout the system, that we might have problems with that, but cattle do add a lot to the system. In conclusion, we did find that we had high lint yields when we followed grazed cover crops They were numerically higher in the grazed non-irrigated plots than in the ungrazed irrigated plots. And again, probably due to nitrogen cycling. Total N uptake was highest in the sod versus the conventional rotation, the four-year rotation versus the three-year with or without nitrogen application. Cotton yields were highest in the Bahia versus conventional rotation. Zero nitrogen in sod rotation had similar yields to 95 kilograms per hectare of N in the conventional rotation in both years. And I think the bottom line on this is if you can graze winter cover crops and have Bahia in the rotation, that is a way to increase yields. Also in years like Texas had this year, when we have major hurricanes that come through during the harvest period, if only half of our farm is in row crops, cotton and peanuts, cattle don't mind hurricanes and high amounts of rainfall, but cotton and peanuts do. Thank you. Any questions if I have time?
Question? Yes.
Have you looked at comparing hay in the ground versus grazing, the effects?
Haying versus grazing?
Taking a hay crop rather than grazing.
We are in those pens, in the exclusion cages where the cattle never get, we are taking hay out of those, both on the winter cover crop and the Bahia grass.
Are you evaluating those areas that were ungrazed as far as the yield effect or any kind of measurement on the cotton?
We are looking at the cotton. What we do, we take down the fences when we plant cotton through there or peanuts. So we treat the entire area.
You don't go back to that same box and look and see if it's...
We do. We keep the exclusion cages in the same area each year.
Are the measurements different where the cattle were excluded in terms of...
Yes.
What I was trying to get at is when you take an hay crop, you remove nutrients.
Right.
And I just was wondering, do y'all have you looked at the effect that you might get into?
We are looking at the soil aspects of it and the nutrient removal as well. Right. Yes, but I didn't report any on that.